Hi, Janie. I was just, if you can give listeners a kind of a history of what's happened and what Henco Corporations has done on your land and what the government has done on your land and why it's resulted in this blockade that has been on up since February 28th.
Well, Henco has been developing unsurrendered territory for quite some time, and with this particular parcel that we're on today, the proximity is too close to where we reside now, and there's a new law that's been created called the Ontario Places to Grow Law, which grants a lot of authority to municipalities in regards to rezoning, things like that. There's in the next 20 years in southern Ontario, they're expecting through that Places to Grow Law to bring 4 million people into the Golden Horseshoe area, and the majority of that land is under is unsurrendered, like our unsurrendered territory. There's never been any kind of compensation or anything indicating, like on the government's part, that we still hold title to these properties. And in this area alone, they're looking to bring 5,000 families right on our doorstep. And this is actually the second time we've been out here. The first time was back in October. It was in commemoration of what's called the Haldimand Proclamation of 1784. And that is when this particular tract, 6 miles on both sides of the Grand River from the mouth to the source, was granted to the Mohawk Nation and all other six nations who wish to follow. So we were out here for 2 days back then, and we shut construction down on this site we're on today. And after that, they continued. More lots were sold. I think there's 70, somewhere around 70-something lots here on this tract, and I think around 68 of them have been sold. But that's what brought us here anyway.
Janie, can you give listeners a bit of an idea of what the resistance looks like, sort of a physical description of what is actually going on it's Highway 6, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, Highway 6 and 6 Line. Well, there's quite a few supporters out here 24/7. The police presence has been increasing, and it's not only they usually have one cruiser parked at close to the front gate. There's two entrances to this lot that we're on, and there's usually a cruiser parked close to the front gate, one at the back gate, and they claim it's to keep the peace, but we are here unarmed, and we have been here unarmed and peaceful since February 28th, but recently there's been a lot more police situated throughout the town of Caledonia, and they do drive-bys. I think they're up to maybe every 20 minutes or so now. But the mood here is still pretty upbeat and positive. I know in the media, they say there's like a high stress level and things like that, but the mood here is pretty calm. We're working under our constitution. That's the oldest form of democracy that's based on peace in the world, and it's called the Great Law, or the Guyana Lagoa, and any decisions we make here are all based upon our constitution. And on top of that, too, we're here under the guidance and direction of our clan mothers. So overall, the mood is pretty good. We're having a cookhouse built for us by the men here, a lot of people are camping out here, so you'll see tents, a teepee, mobile, like trailers, things like that. There's approximately 5 different fires on the site that are going 24/7. We have representatives here from some of the different nations, like the Six Nations Confederacy throughout Ontario and New York State. So the representation from the many nations is quite strong. We have a representative from one of the Ojibwe nations out by Thunder Bay, Ontario, and We've had guests from, we've had Palestinians come and show their support, some from Egypt, Germany. There's a woman coming out from Colombia to visit us on Tuesday. So overall, like, we have a lot of support, both from the native and non-native communities. Food's coming in nonstop. That's excellent. One comment that was made by one of the supporters here is, we can tell when we're not supported any longer when that food stops coming in. And it's just been really overwhelming. It's been hard. You know, like, it started off with just a handful of people, and that's what a lot of the media call. You know, we are representatives of many different Ongahowé nations from Turtle Island, and that strength comes from each and every nation united, standing together.
One question I wanted to ask, which was, there was an action that took place when they actually tried to bring on the construction equipment that involved the clan mothers and made a lot of press. If you can just talk about happened.
That particular incident, I forget the actual date. I think it may have been March 17th. No, March 22nd, I think it was. What happened that day was there were to be, we were supposed to be removed any time after 2 p.m. that day. And what happened was the women got together and stood at the front gate, and we locked arms. They never did come in. They still haven't come in. But that really made it clear to the world, it is our responsibility and our duty as women to be here. And a lot of people don't understand that, you know, as women, we are the nurturers of life, life of all forms, human life, plant life, animal life, but all of that life derives from the land, like from our mother. And that's what we are here protecting and maintaining. And as an Ongahowé woman, like, that is our responsibility. And the men, you know, they're here to protect us women and children. So that strength was shown to the world. Like, I really believe that, you know, so many people now understand, you know, that it does come from us. That's where it begins, and that's where it ends, all forms of life.
It certainly seems like the men who are representing the state that calls itself Canada, the provincial government, the sheriff in your locality, have all made different kinds of attempts to so-called, you know, quote-unquote, negotiate. I wonder if you could give listeners a bit of a sense of how that's really fallen flat. You know, what attempts have been made, and what, you know, what is the resolution going to be from your end?
Well, in regards to Canada and their laws, they keep ignoring the fact that we are a nation. You know, we're six nations, and we always have been. Any agreement that we've ever entered into has been on a nation-to-nation basis with the French, with the Dutch, with Britain. And Canada itself, they haven't... It's my understanding they haven't fulfilled the parameters that are which defines a nationhood. You know, like the traditional language and the traditional culture and the traditional lands. Canada has never met any of those, and that amounts to them not having the constitutional jurisdiction, you know, like to impose any of their man-made laws onto another nation. Like, it's about sovereignty, you know, and they keep trying to manipulate their own legislation to interfere with who we are. And but it's been slow and it's been consistent, and it ultimately amounts to genocide. And so many people don't realize that or understand it. You know, like, they do not have jurisdiction on our territory. And it's just been through that lack of resistance that has allowed them to impose their laws, such as the Indian Act, legislation such as that, on our people to take away that title that we hold, like in regards to the traditional lands, and those laws as well interfere with our own culture and even our languages, like when you consider the effects of the residential school syndrome and things like that. But it's all tied in, like it all, but it all amounts to the government and their attempts at assimilation.
So around the kind of the support and also that you've been getting from other First Nations, what kind of support when you talk about, well, there's negligence in terms of what's actually taking place, which is genocide. What kind of support is there outside of the other First Nations? Is there support amongst non-natives?
It's been tremendous. We've had women cooking for us, families coming down, non-native families coming down to stand outside with us. Well, you know, it is outside, but they'll come and bring their families down, 20 below weather. You know, we had them standing out here, driving by, honking their horns, dropping food, water off, diesel, phone cards for some of our guests from other communities so they can keep in contact with their families. We've had people bring coats down for kids, socks, things, just anything, like any type of support, sending emails to the different levels of government, MPs, things like that. Probably any way imaginable, support can be shown. It has been by non-natives, and this upcoming Sunday, they're having there's a group coming down from Hamilton, Ontario, and we ourselves are having a meeting on Sunday, like the people here, and while we're busy in our meeting, they're going to watch the front gate for us. So it's been good, you know, like a lot of unification. A lot of positive things are happening here, and it's just been really, really tremendous to see history being made that way.
We here in Toronto, particularly in and around the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty and other allied groups, have a strong relationship with a family in Tyndonega, and so we've been speaking on this radio program and amongst ourselves and in the community about a very serious concern felt this spring of the possibility of an invasion by Canadian forces. And the resistance that is taking place in Six Nations and the strength of that stand seems logically, of course, but I think worth noting, to be reverberating through communities like far and wide in terms of the impact that's having to assuage those fears and to give people like a point of just setting an incredible example and refusing to back down. I just wanted to ask, just in conclusion, because you've made some very strong statements in the press of certainty, you know, you have, just to say it again, a way that this needs to be resolved and an outcome that you believe, and rightly so, is the one that's warranted. And, you know, what is that? What are you calling for?
Well, the desired outcome for us is a peaceful resolution. And we know we have a big battle on our hands. And again, I'll refer to the Canadian legislation, like the whole, what they called land claims. The only mandate for compensation only, like financial compensation. And what we're maintaining is our title to this property. We're not after a financial settlement. You know, we don't want to get paid for this land. and to have that title reverted to Canada. That's not something that we're willing to negotiate on. You know, a lot of people have asked us, well, you know, what are you willing to negotiate? And my standpoint on that is we've already had enough stolen from us. So in all fairness, why are we expected to give up anything more than what's already been taken from us? And in regards to that title, that's all we're asking for. You know, is for Canada to acknowledge where that title and jurisdiction truly belongs, and it's with us Ongwahoy people.
Before we leave, I just want to ask you one question. Is there ways that, I mean, you talked about all the support you have been getting, but for people here, for the maybe this is their first time hearing about what's happening and who want to help and who want to support, how can they do so? And if there's anything coming up people can actually participate in as well.
Yeah, well, on April the 12th next week, I don't have the details here in front of me, but excuse me, what is being planned is a nationwide show of support in whichever way you can, whether it's a rally, whether it's emails being sent out, just whatever way you can from where you are. You know, we understand we've been getting calls from all over North America asking, you know, how can you support us and without, you know, them being able to be here. And that's all we keep saying is keep rallying the Canadian government. But if you want to take that one step further and make a stand of your own, then, you know, that there's no better way to get your point across. But other than that, like if you are in the vicinity, water, pop, diesel, phone cards, anything, mittens, prayers, you know, that's the most, that's the strongest message anybody can send, I believe, is asking their creator for assistance for us, for strength for our people.
I just want to thank you very much, Janie, for coming on to OCAP Radio. As Steph has said before, the struggle that's taking place on Six Nations is inspiring thousands of people right across other nations and right here in Toronto as well. Thank you so much.
Nyawa, for your time.
That was Janie Jameson, spokesperson on this Six Nations blockade that's been ongoing since the end of February.